Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. Today's guest is John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part two of our conversation from Friday at Toscalito Tire and Automotive in San Francisco. We're going to talk about the National League West a little bit here. You know, a lot of people picking the Giants to be at the top of the division. We'll start right away with our question from our T-shirt winner this week, Francisco Lopez. He says, who are the Giants most worried about in the National League West? And, you know, it's debatable. You would say Dodgers, Diamondbacks, close, but when A.J. Pollock went out with that injury at the end of spring training, that kind of knocked them back a notch, even though they have Zach Greinke and they got Shelby Miller and everything. So, I don't know. Do you say Giants, Dodgers fighting at the top and everybody else below?
For now, yeah, until further notice. He got hurt on a Friday night in spring training. A meaningless slide in a meaningless game, head first into the plate. Ricky Henderson always told me, I'll go head first into second. I'll go head first into third. I'll never go head first into the plate. That catcher's in gear. He's got shin guards. Injuries, he's got all the protection, and I just got my little fingers. No way. I'm going feet first. So here's A.J. Pollock. He's going head first in a meaningless game, and he might miss a whole season, several months at least. And that really turned the tide in this division. They were really counting on him. Friday for Sunday, I wrote this big column about how the Giants' biggest challengers were not going to be the Dodgers. They're going to be the Diamondbacks. And then Pollock gets hurt, and I rewrote.
Well, that
I rewrote
goes to
for
show
Sunday
you.
Because I, you know, they're not as tough. They're just not as tough.
That goes to show you how hard it is to pick a baseball winner when you have 162 games, so many opportunities for injuries, and that's what's going to kill a team. Yeah. You know, that's why it's difficult. You could say Giants, Dodgers. You could say the Cubs are the best team in the world, but if Jake Arrieta goes down, then it's a totally different ballgame.
They got Greinke. They got Shelby Miller. They had a great 1-2 punch with Pollock and Goldschmidt. Their defense was better. They just had an all-around game, and they were into winning now, right? It wasn't about the future. They gave up some big-time prospects in the Miller trade and other trades, and they're left with a team that was built to win now. But I don't know anymore. I mean, they haven't gotten off to a great start. And Greinke didn't look good in his debut with the Diamondbacks, but hey, it's one game. And he had a fantastic year last year. We'll see what he does from here on out. But I think the Diamondbacks front office, led by Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart, our old friends, are saying, man, a week ago we were looking a lot better than we look right now.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access
Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
A lot of national experts were picking the Nationals to win the National League East. They got Dusty Baker as their manager. I mean, you know, they're a pretty well-loaded team with everything they have, you know, especially when you have one of the best players in baseball, if not the best player, in Bryce Harper. But I can't go against the Mets with that rotation. If they get Wheeler back and it's every day, they've got a guy who's pretty much a shutdown pitcher. If they stay healthy, as long as they score some runs, I think they're going to be right there.
Yeah, it's to be determined over 162 games. They've all kind of joined the fray in the last year or two, some of them late in the season. Then they were all there in the postseason and did great, obviously. But this team really didn't gel until Cespedes showed up in early August. And then they went on that great run in August, survived in September, and went to the World Series in October. again. But I, you know what, I picked the Nationals in that division. I picked the Mets as a wild card, and I just see that Nationals team doing things that it didn't do under Matt Williams. The chemistry was bad. The vibe was bad. Maybe he wasn't the right manager. I like Matt Williams a lot, but I think Dusty Baker is the right guy at the right time, and he is really motivated. Baker's really done everything in this game except win a World Series as a manager, and I think he knows that once he does that, if he does that, he goes straight to the Hall of Fame with Cox, with Torrey, with La Russa. Remember, they went in together couple of years ago, and I think he might be the next in line. He's, you know, top 10, top 12 in wins all time as a manager, and that's his one obstacle, going all the way in the postseason. So I think that's, you know, the other wild card team, I think, was going to come out of the Central. The Cubs are loaded. I picked them, and I picked the Cardinals, who won 100 games last year, yeah, as a wild card.
We'll continue the conversation with San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea right after this.
You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Tan Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
What about American League? I think the Houston Astros, to me, are the best team in the American League. I mean, you know, you got the Blue Jays, the Royals, yeah, are going to be there. Yeah. They are. But the Astros, they were up and coming, and I think they're just going to keep getting better. I mean, Correa is probably going to put up a monster season this year.
Yeah, the teams you mentioned were my 3 division winners as well, and then the Rangers and the Red Sox as wild cards. I see the Astros, who had a real nice year last year, only getting better with that youth, with Correa at short, and the rotation. They had the Cy Young Award winner. You remember Sports Illustrated a few years back, they said, look at the Astros, the team in 2017 that's going to win the World Series. Well, they might be a year ahead of schedule.
Yeah, they might be. I mean, they have a good manager, too, in A.J. Hinch. I mean, he's really done a really good job. All right, let's get to the new rule. I mean, there's been controversy already about this Utley rule. You had the Blue Jays involved in some controversy with Batista sliding into second. And when you first saw it, I mean, for me, it didn't look like he did anything wrong. But when you saw the replay, yeah, you saw him kind of grab, yeah, at the shortstop's ankles, and then they said, you know what, double play, and the game's over, you lose, yeah, Toronto, and John Gibbons wasn't happy about that. And as we talked about in part one of this podcast, you had Joe Panik involved in the neighborhood play, mm-hmm, already, where he was straddling the bag, and that's how everybody's taught to play second base, turning the double play on the pivot, straddle the bag, you know, try to keep your foot near there. Before I get your opinion on this, a couple things. One, in spring training, I talked to Rich Aurelia. He said he never missed the bag. He always touched it.
He thought.
He said he would have a little white mark on his spikes because he would touch the bag. So he didn't think that was a big deal. He didn't like the new rule. And talking to Scott Van Slyke of the Dodgers on opening day at AT&T Park, he said he thinks there's going to be more injuries to the base runner sliding in now than you do have to the middle infielders. What do you think about that?
No, you're right about that, because now without the neighborhood play, the infielder has to stay on the bag longer.
Right.
And therefore is more prone to contact with the runner who has to come to the base. Now, if you're on the base and he's got to go to the base, I mean, those are two trains coming at each other. So the whole thing about the neighborhood play, why it initially was not reviewable, was because they didn't want it reviewable because they didn't want the contact. They wanted to protect the infielders. Well, now, because of Chase Utley's rule, the runner has to go in a direct line. He can't go offline. He can't use his hands offline, his feet, his legs. By the way, whatever happened to the hook slide?
Nobody does.
I asked Bochy that the other day. He said, well, that was a beautiful slide. I mean, you just... But now you want to go in head first, hands first and everything. Talk about injuries. So anyway.
Can't even do the hook slide, right? I mean, because, right, you wouldn't be doing, exactly, going directly into,
right,
the base.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts. And they don't teach it now anyway.
Right.
But so now with Panic, he took the feed from Crawford. Okay, it's a routine double play, inning-ending double play. It would have been 1-0 Dodgers in the second inning, but he pretty much hopped off the bag, behind the bag, on the feed from Crawford. Didn't have to, but that's what he's done since he was a kid. Sure. You know, it's a neighborhood play. They're going to call it if you're in the neighborhood. You know, you don't have to be on the bag with possession of the ball. You have to be in the neighborhood. Fine, it was the unwritten rule, right? Protect the infielders. Well, now you don't have to protect the infielders because you're already protecting them by eliminating the takeout slide. So what he did, he was just a split second off the base before he got the feed from Crawford. Then he throws. They run off the field. Inning-ending double play. Well, no. Dave Roberts, the Dodger manager, says, we want this under review. They review it. It took 2.5 minutes.
It's too long.
I mean, this is 2.5 minutes to review. All right. And that's how much they want to get this right, by the way. And then, bingo. Safe at second, run scores, 2-0 Dodgers. They have to go back on the field. Could have been a big rally for the Dodgers, but the next batter made an out. So Panic, after the game, I'm talking to him at his locker. He said, I never practiced this play. Because even, it was February 25th when Major League Baseball and the Union got together and announced that we're doing the Chase Utley rule and no more neighborhood play. I mean, come on. The season starts in a month, and you're telling us now? So these infielders aren't spending all day working on staying on the bag and then throwing the ball, you know, for any length of time. They're saying, okay, I'm just going to do it the way I've always done it. Well, now Joe Panic told me yesterday, I've got to change because I can't let that happen again.
Yeah.
I've got to stay on the bag a split second longer and then throw. And like you said, maybe more susceptible to injury. And he can't afford to get hit with his back issue last year.
Right. And it was funny, when that double play was turned, I said to myself, you know what, we're going to have a record for double plays in the major leagues because it's so easy to turn one. You have nobody coming at you. So, I mean, there's no more takeout slide, so no problem. And then, of course, right there, I'm proven wrong because now we're going to have some of those neighborhood plays called. And then you're not going to get the double play all the time. Although there'll be an adjustment, and I think these infielders will get used to it, and then they'll start turning more.
In Major League Baseball, the argument to what you just said, they've come out and said, well, listen, we think this sacrifice is going to supersede that sacrifice, and there's going to be fewer injuries because the runner can no longer take them out. And you can't even go past the bag. So technically, the infielder can throw behind the bag and he'll never get touched. The infielder technically can be a foot off the bag on either side before he makes the relay throw and never be touched. Brandon Belt, in a Bay Area, Bay Bridge game, or whatever they call the A's Giants preseason games by the Bay here, he got called out because he was trying to protect himself. He didn't deviate from his path to the bag. He slid, raised his arms to protect his face, and the A's reviewed it. And he was called out because the umpire said you deviated from your path because you tried to put your hands up and block the path of the fielder. And Belt said, that's just ridiculous. And Bochy said, that's ridiculous. And basically, they thought it was ridiculous because he's trying to guard his face from the guy's knee.
Right.
So what are you supposed to do? Just go face first? So I think they need to tweak something.
More with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
The spirit of Rose Pistola, a fiery bartender in 1950s North Beach, is still alive with the restaurant that bears her name. Doors to this North Beach institution opened in 1996, and since then, it has become a must-visit for locals and world travelers alike. Guests can share house-made pastas, crispy wood-fired pizzas, and classic Italian desserts prepared by Chef Steve Walker 7 days a week. Grab a seat at the bar and sip some grappa. Join Rose Pistola for happy hour offered at the bar weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. Live jazz trios perform Thursday through Sunday nights. It's the perfect setting for large groups seeking a lively lunch, brunch, or dinner. Rose Pistola is conveniently located around the corner from Beach Blanket Babylon at 532 Columbus Avenue. Join Rose Pistola as they celebrate 20 years.
A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now back to our conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, part two of our on-site podcast in San Francisco at Toscalito Tire and Automotive. One more topic here before we finish up. And by the way, we're doing a live podcast here at Toscalito Tire and Automotive. We're in the city. We're at 2342 Lombard. Come on by. You can buy four tires, receive 50% off alignment, $20 off any flush, spend $500 in repairs, parts and labor, and receive $75 off. And sign up for the Toscalito preferred card and receive an instant 15% off the bill. And that offer is good until June the 4th. So you've got some time. Mention the promo code Giants Podcast. Okay, to finish up here, Barry Bonds is now the hitting coach in Miami, which is strange. I mean, that he's not in a Giants uniform. And you still wonder about, is he ever going to get in the Hall of Fame? Now, I know you've changed your stance about the Hall of Fame with some of the steroids guys. You can tell us about that. And also, what do you think about Bonds? Is he going to do well as a hitting coach?
I think he will. I think every player who ever heard from him, whether a teammate or that one week a couple of years ago in spring training when Bonds showed up at the Giants camp, you know, they swear by him. I mean, here's one of the greatest hitters who ever played, definitely the greatest since Ted Williams. He's worked with some guys on the side. He worked with A-Rod, and A-Rod had a pretty good year last year after working with Bonds. And, you know, it's not just the physical game, but the mental game. I mean, talk a guy who's been there and done that. Here's my issue, and I asked him this in a conference call when the day he got the job. I said, Barry, you know, your dad was a coach. You know how this works. These coaches are supposed to show up at noon for a 7 o'clock game. Are you going to be able to do that? I mean, you didn't do that as a player. Why would you do that now as a coach? And you certainly don't get as much money as you did as a player.
Not close.
He said, I'm all in. I'm going to be dedicated. I don't know how long it lasts, but I'm going to be dedicated now. And he has been so far. It's only been a few games. By the way, he's coming to San Francisco here. But pretty soon.
Yeah, that'll be a mob scene with the media, right?
Yeah, and the fans. I mean, it's not like he'll be announced. Batting coaches aren't announced.
Right.
You know, batting coaches don't go out in the field to talk to the batter like it's a little league game, T-ball. You know, they sit in the dugout. You might not even see him the whole day unless you're getting there early for batting practice. So anyway, I think he'll do fine. And it's a great thing. And, you know, the Giants never offered a gig. So it's not like he...
Can't blame him.
He's turning down the Giants. They never offered
anything. Never offered it to him.
And they talked and talked about some kind of ambassadorship in which he would just kind of hang out and be Barry Bonds. But Barry wanted more of that. Well, you know, he worked with ASU hitters. He's worked with kids. He's worked with major leaguers. You know, he wants to see what he could do at a major league level. I mean, he's not going to do this in the minor leagues. You know, he might here and there for a week or two, but over a season, you know, they got a guy named Stanton in Miami who, you know, could hit 50 home runs this year, and I think, you know, he'll do well to listen to Bonds.
Now, what about the Hall of Fame? You've changed your stance, right? You would vote for Bonds and Clemens.
I did for the first time.
You did vote for them, yeah.
Yeah, no other guys like
will
that.
Will they get in, or are there going to be more?
I don't think so. I mean, they're almost midway through the 10-year window that they're on the ballot, and then the Veterans Committee after that, and the Veterans Committee has Hall of Famers on it, and Hall of Famers, if you ask them publicly or privately, a lot of these guys don't want Bonds or Clemens, and certainly not Palmeiro or Sosa, McGuire, Canseco, et cetera. But... Listen, there's the argument Bonds was a Hall of Famer before he walked into Balco. Same with Clemens. But, you know, the way these guys went after records. And the reason I changed my mind and voted for those two guys was because, listen, Mike Piazza got in, and I've been voting for him. And there's all kinds of rumors with Mike Piazza. Maybe even with Jeff Bagwell, but definitely more with Piazza. And I don't know. There's no paper trail like there is with Bonds and Clemens. Maybe he was lucky. I don't know if he used or not. But, you know, there are a lot of rumors that he did. And, who am I to vote for Piazza and not Bonds? It's just so hard. The ballots were due every year, New Year's Eve. And I never had a good New Year's Eve because I didn't know who. It's so hard. You should vote for Bonds, you don't feel good. You should not vote for Bonds, you don't feel good. It's just a real tough ballot. So I just said, you know, the heck with it. I'm going to vote for him, and I'm going to vote for Clemens because they're basically the same guy. 7 MVPs, 7 Cy Youngs. They were in the game together. They excelled in their late 30s and early 40s like nobody ever did in the history of the game, and we sort of know why. But I just said, enough's enough. I just caved. I mean, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but I did it because I felt it in my heart and I felt in my gut that that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I would be in the same position. Especially if they wiped away that sportsmanship clause, right?
Integrity, but character, sportsmanship, integrity. Rule 5 on every ballot.
Exactly. So, we'll see what happens with Bonds. John, thanks so much. It's been great being here. I want to thank everybody at Toscalito Tire and Automotive. I want to thank Nick Sanderson, the store manager, Vince Ippolito, the owner, one of the owners of Toscalito, Gail and Marty from Big Cat Advertising as well. It's been fun being here today. And, we'll definitely catch up with you throughout the season, John.
Sounds
so much
great.
Fun. That's San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea will join us regularly here on thesportsvirus.com. Come back again on Friday. We'll hear from former Giant Jose Vizcaino, who's now working in the Dodgers front office. His son, Jose Vizcaino Jr., is playing for the San Jose Giants. We'll talk about him on Friday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.